Park picked up this dream on the internet and he gave it to me. And let me just read through it one time and you try to picture in your mind what the dream is talking about. And then we can go back to it and talk about it. But the dream is by Cindy Landy. And it's about tornadoes over America. And she says, on Friday night, July the 4th, 1997, I had a dream involving tornadoes. I was located inside of a beach home in the kitchen, serving guests and making dinner. It was in the evening. I was startled by seeing in a treeless field out the back of the beach home a very large tornado. Two additional tornadoes dropped down from the first. I could not pay any more attention to what happened after that because I was expected to pay attention to my guests. However, I knew that the tornadoes had caused destruction. The next day, my dream is fraught with clear images and distractions. The main distraction was that of a man that was romantically interested in me. However, I explained to him that I was married and not interested in pursuing a relationship. While this was going on, I went out the beachfront side of the beach home. The view I had of the beach was not a frontal view, but rather a side view, so I could see not only the water, but I had a view of neighboring beach homes as well. Rather than being directly on the beach homes were running along a seawall, and there were lots of trees and foliage. Neighbors from other beach homes were outside on the beach side as well, and it was early morning. All of a sudden, a huge tornado appeared over the water. Then, suddenly, 10 more tornadoes dropped down from the first one and stationed themselves over the water. Neighbors were marveling at the sight. However, they did not seem to pay heed to the danger. They were in awe of what they were seeing, but did not seem to respect the power. I was running frantically, trying to seek protection from the danger, and at one point went down to the beach to urge this man that was in my dream and a small boy to come in out of the danger. At one point, there was a soldier on the beach with a radio, and he was reporting that there had been widespread destruction due to the tornadoes, and that in Katy, Texas, there was a mass suicide. I remember thinking that it was odd to have mass suicide due to tornadoes. While I was down on the beach urging these two individuals to come in out of danger, I looked up and a wall of a storm was right on us. We began running up the stairs, and at one point I was carrying the small boy. But when I reached the top of the seawall, I was alone and suddenly became engulfed by water, knowing that I would be okay. The water receded, and I could feel nothing but soft sand beneath me, and I knew I was okay and woke up. I want to go back and look at it really slowly. One thing I discovered was the lady that had this dream, sometimes the person that has the dream, their name is even important. In this case, it was. Her name, Cindy, means the goddess of the moon. And you know, in the scripture, the moon represents the church. You know, for instance, in Joseph's dream, in Genesis 37, if you remember, let me read that to you real quick, like 37 in verse 9, he dreamed yet another dream, and behold, it was. He told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed yet a dream, and behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves to thee, to the earth?" So the mother of all of his brethren was the moon, and that represents the church. You know, this woman, Cindy, in her own dream, represented the church. And this was, of course, about tornadoes over the USA. She had her dream on Friday night, July the 4th, 1997. I don't think that was an accident. I don't know if any of y'all ever watched the advertisement, maybe you went and saw the movie Independence Day. When on July the 4th, when people were celebrating their independence, they were invaded by aliens. And these aliens had to destroy the United States in order to take over the world. And I thought this parable was frankly given to mankind by God, like many. Have you ever noticed how movies have been prophetic, very prophetic, you know? And I believe in this case it will be. It was on the 4th of July that these aliens invaded in order to, they had to take out number one, and number one was the USA in order to rule the world. Well, I think that's what this is about. This dream is about that. I believe this is a symbol of the dream. Yeah, well, I'm not saying it's going to happen on July the 4th.
I'm not saying it either, but you got to think about it.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because of the world thing.
It's possible because if you remember when Babylon fell, it fell when they and the vessels of God out of God's house were having a big party. Right in the middle of this big party, while they're having this big party, the invasion happened and they were conquered. And I remember I mentioned this to you some months back, that I wonder if it would happen on the 4th of July, or I wonder if it would happen on Christmas or something like that. You know? Well, I don't know. I don't know, but I know one thing. Americans are partying pretty good all the time. And they're celebrating their independence, but their independence is an independence from God. That's the problem. Well, that's what I saw, is that while they were celebrating their independence, they had to be knocked out in order for the aliens to rule the world. And that's what the rest of this dream is about. What? Listen carefully. It says, "And I had a dream involving tornadoes. I was located inside of a beach home in the kitchen, serving guests and making dinner," which the church does, you know. "It was in the evening. I was startled by seeing in a treeless field out the back of the beach home a very large tornado." I thought about a treeless field. Why would it be a treeless field? Because everything means something in a dream. God can make it be a tree, a field full of trees, or a treeless field. But trees in the scriptures are symbolical, right? Let me give you a good example. In Ezekiel 17, show you how many times in the Old Testament trees are people. Ezekiel 17 and verse 20. Well, let me start at verse 22. It says, "Thus saith the Lord." It says, "Thus saith the Lord, I will also will take of the top of the lofty top of the cedar, and I will set it. I will crop off from the topmost of the young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon the high and lofty mountain. In the mountains of the height of Israel will I plant it. And it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all the birds of every wing, and in the shade of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree, and have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it." It's obvious that the trees in that parable, all through that parable, as a matter of fact, all through chapter 17, the trees are people. It's obvious that a tree can bear fruit, or it can be dried up. In this particular case, it was a treeless field, I feel, because it was out the back of the beach home, which means inland. You look out here's a home on the beach. Out the back of the beach home is inland. And inland, it was a treeless field. The field being the world. Jesus gave us the interpretation that the field was the world. Well, here was a treeless field. In other words, it was fruitless. Two things you can see about the back. Number one, in the back of the beach home was inland America. That's where she was. She was on the beach. That was inland America. Number two, it can be past. In the past, America has not brought forth fruit. At least not the kind of fruit that God is expected to bring forth. And that's why she saw behind the house. You know, what's behind you is your past, right? And what's in front of you is your future. Many times, dreams are that way. In this case, I believe it has a double meaning. Because she saw some tornadoes behind her and some tornadoes in front of her. And that meant inland and outland. Okay? So watch. It says, "In a treeless field out the back of the beach home was a very large tornado. Two additional tornadoes dropped down from the first." And I couldn't pay any more attention to what happened after this because I was expected to pay attention to my guests. However, I knew that the tornadoes caused destruction. Now, when I meditated on this, You know that there is a principle in the Word called the law of first mention? Have you all ever heard of that? The law of first mention? It's like when something's mentioned first in the Scriptures, look at it very carefully, because it's a way that God is going to use that the rest of the time in the Scriptures. Okay? Now, here was one tornado, but out of it came two tornadoes. And what the Lord, what I felt like the Lord told me was in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6. Look at this. This is like the law of first mention. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6. Numbers mean something in the Scriptures. And numbers mean something in dreams. When there's no particular reason to have numbers, you know, and you see numbers there, we'll suspect that there is a symbol there, you know. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. You know what waters are in the Scriptures? Anybody got a good guess what waters are in the Scriptures? We were told in Revelation 17 that the waters that the harlot sat upon were the multitudes, tribes, and peoples, and tongues. Waters represent peoples in the Scriptures, in parables, many places. So it depends on the text here a lot, doesn't it? Okay, well, here's a division of the waters. Division. What's the first division? What's the first number of division? Two. That's the first number of division. Here you got a one tornado and it turns into two. It's a division. Inland America, there's going to be a division. We've already seen that in dreams. Division. There's going to be a division and it's going to cause destruction. Okay? Well, he says here, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. How many of you know that some of the waters that are upon this earth are above the firmament and some of them are under the firmament? You know, because some of us are seated with Christ in the heavenlies and some of us are on the earth. And the destruction that's coming is to destroy them that dwell upon the earth. The phrase is even used in the book of Revelation several times. To destroy them that dwell upon the earth. Okay? And God made firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. Number two, the second day. That too means something. It means something all through that little, from six to eight. It means division. It means division between the righteous and the wicked. Didn't God say he was going to do that? Bring division between the righteous and the wicked. In the parable of the tares, you know, he's going to gather up first the wicked out from among the righteous, and then he's going to come for the righteous. So there's got to come a division. Well, when God destroyed Babylon, he made a division. Like he made in Goshen when he destroyed Egypt. When he destroyed Egypt, he separated Goshen. And Goshen came out, see, and they were protected. Well, the same thing happened in Babylon. God destroyed Babylon. The reason, we may look at this very negatively, well, this is a destruction coming upon America. But it's very positive in God's mind, because in God's mind, he's going to deliver his people from bondage in Babylon. That's what he did. It's positive. God wants to set his people free from living in bondage to Babylon, in bondage to those murky waters, you know, that are being foisted upon us is the truth, you know. Well, division. Two is division. This tornado came down. It was in the backyard. That means it's inside America. Inside America, there's going to come a division, just like Brother Judeman said here. In his vision, he said, it will start with the world calling for peace, peace. Then there will be an internal revolution in America. Then there will be division, right? Started by the communists. And some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. And then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two other countries which I can't remember, will attack, and the Russians will bombard the nuclear missile silos in America, and America will burn. Pretty plain, it's the same. Well, you know, it's more than that. According to that, it's the communists. But we think of communists as red Russians or red Chinese or whatever. But you know what? We've got communists in our government. They are running headlong towards a communist government worldwide. They're seeking to have some sort of a democratic communist society here. They're wanting to bring everything into one, you know. Well, at any rate, pay attention to what he's saying. First, she saw inland a tornado turn into two tornadoes, and then there was great destruction. Okay, but she was paying more attention to her guests. which that's the way the church is. You know, they may see a lot of things going on, but the most important thing is to make sure that your guests are fed, right? That's the church. The next paragraph, it says, "The next day, my dream is fraught with clear images and distractions." Clear images. That means images you can see through. That's like discernment. You know what? I believe that a lot of people are going to get discernment after this first sign happens. You understand what I'm talking about? But what I was thinking was discernment. So, clear images and distractions. She said the main distraction was that of a man that was romantically interested in me. However, I explained to him I was married and not interested in pursuing a relationship. I believe what the Lord showed me is that this woman, in her own dream, represents the church. And there are people who are, there is one particular group of people that is interested in us. And their interest is wrong. It's an error. Look at 2 Corinthians. And the problem is, we're married. We should see ourselves as married. Okay? That's what the Apostle Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. You know, when you were espoused, among the Hebrews, he was as good as married. You know that? It says right here, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and purity that is towards Christ." Simplicity and purity is like a pure virgin to Christ, right? "But if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him." And of course, he's talking about the apostate church, the false prophet, you know, the false prophets, depending on how you want to look at it. Which he later says in that chapter, he said, for verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is of no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Well, that's what this man represented in her dream. Somebody who was trying to distract her from her purity, which is towards Christ, and to entrap her in the harlot, in which case the true church is not going to be entrapped by the harlot, but the true church is going to come out from among them and be separate and be delivered, right? Well, this is the warning here. I mean, she obviously overcame because she held close to the Lord and she was married to the Lord, you know. But this is what's going to happen in this country. I believe that maybe during and after this time of rebellion, that people are going to have to make a decision. This rebellion that's in this country. Because there's a lot of religious people that are going to be drawing people to be on one side or the other. But you know what? We as Christians, we're kind of neutral in this world. You know, you just can't be moved by God unless you're neutral. If you align yourself with one militant group or with somebody on the opposite side, you're not going to be for Christ. And this distraction, we don't need right now. We got to keep the eye that is single. If the eye is single, the Bible says, the whole body shall be full of light. Our eye's got to be single. It's got to be on the Lord. It's got to be walking in His step. She went on to say, "While this was going on, I went out the beachfront side of the beach home. And the view I had of the beach was not a frontal view, but rather a side view. So I could see not only the water, but I had a view of neighboring beach homes as well. Rather than being directly on the beach homes were running along a seawall." So what she was saying is, the front of her beach home was the sea, but her home was faced sideways. And it was looking at these other homes, which were also on a seawall, right? But out on the sea, there was out the seaside, and then there was, she was calling in her backyard, which is where the tornadoes were. So inland was the tornadoes. And in front of her, she's fixing to talk about some more tornadoes. Well, she said she had a view of the neighboring beach homes as well. And rather than being directly on the beach homes were running along a seawall. The seawall is symbolical of sanctification, because a wall separates you, see? And the Bible is pretty clear, too, that the wicked are as an angry sea. You know that? The Bible teaches us that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 17, the wicked who take the mark of the beast, they're like these many waters, you know? And the seawall separates, was separating them from these waters. So a seawall is like sanctification. But you said running along the seawall, there were lots of trees and foliage. Out in the back, it was a treeless field. But along the seawall, there was lots of, in other words, there was lots of fruit. There was lots of fruit being born along the seawall. Because the seawall is the place of bearing fruit. It's the place of sanctification, you see. Neighbors from other beach homes were outside of the beach, on the beach side as well, and it was early morning. Well, guess what? It is early morning. Remember we studied in Hosea chapter 6, 2 and 3, that we've now come to the early morning of the next day. Because we came through 6,000 years. Came through 6,000 years this year. So it is now early morning. Now, everything means something here. It's now very early morning. And I think about the trees that are planted along on top of the seawall, which means, to me, sanctification. This verse came to me in Jeremiah 17. Probably know it, might know it by heart. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh, but its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." That's what that reminded me of, is these trees and foliage on the seawall. Now, the next paragraph says, all of a sudden, a huge tornado, in other words, much bigger than the first tornado, appeared over the water. So it's outside the United States. Okay? So this sounds real similar to Mark's dream. Y'all remember Mark's dream about the tornadoes? First, it was one tornado. Then it was a bunch of tornadoes, you see. Very similar. The first one, he escaped. The second one ruined the whole country. This sounds very, very similar. Very similar. And all of a sudden, a huge tornado appeared over the water. And then suddenly, 10 more tornadoes dropped down off the first one and stationed themselves over the water. Remember who the water is? The people. People of the world. Multitudes, tribes, nations, and tongues. Doesn't it say in the scriptures, in Daniel, for instance, and in Revelation, that there's going to be 10 over the people? 10 horns, right? 7 heads, 10 horns. You need 10 horns or 10 kingdoms. 10 kings, but a king represents a kingdom, right? 10 kings for the 7 years. There's going to be 10 kings. Okay, in the first 7 years, the crowns are going to be on the heads. But in the second 3.5 years, the 10 kings are going to rule as dictators. Neighbors were marveling at the sight, however they did not seem to heed the danger. But, you know, we've been telling people about this stuff and people think you're just nuts. These things are coming together all around us, but they don't see anything. They don't see any danger in that, you know. A lot of people don't see any danger in this. Some people are getting some discernment from God. You know what, I think something else came to me about this seawall. You know, is that the Bible talks about in Proverbs, yes, Proverbs 18 and verse 11, it says, "A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own imagination. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but before honor goes humility." You know, I saw a double meaning to the seawall. I thought it represented not only sanctification for the Christian, because I believe you're going to see that as we go down a little further, but also represents America's defenses. You know, the rich man's riches are like a high wall in his imagination. They think this is what's going to defend me. It's going to defend me. I was running frantically trying to seek protection from the danger, and at one point went down to the beach to urge this man that was in my dream. That's the guy that was distracting her, of course. And a small boy to come in out of danger. At one point, there was a soldier on the beach with a radio, and he was reporting that there had been widespread destruction due to tornadoes. Well, you know, the soldier on the beach, to me, that identifies the real thing that's happening there. This is a military campaign, right? Why else would a soldier be on the beach, you know, with a radio reporting on it? Because he's a
God's identifying for us. This is a military campaign, you see. Well, something else the soldier reported, he said, in Katy, Texas, there was a mass suicide. I mean, immediately when I read that, it was like, it was positive. I knew that the Lord was talking about death to self. Because in a way, and spiritually, that's what we're doing. Suicide. Death to self. A Christian is one who takes up his cross and follows Jesus willingly. It's a suicide. You know, you're putting to death self. You know, well, that's something I got to looking into. First of all, Katy means pure. And I got to meditating on Texas and looking up, you know, in the encyclopedia and things about Texas. And I come to realize that Texas symbolizes the people of God. You know why Texas symbolizes the people of God? They have the same sign as Israel has. It's called the Lone Star State, the Star of David. Texas is an old Indian word, Tejas, and it means the friends or the allies. The friends or the allies. Tejas. The friends or the allies. And it's got the symbol of the Lone Star, like the Star of David. And on one side of the Lone Star is an oak branch, which the Bible likens his people to oaks, because oak is strong, right? Okay, and it could also be a live oak because it's evergreen, you know. It's strong. On the other side was an olive branch, which is also a symbol of Israel. The whole flag that they've got, their whole symbol, identifies Israel, or God's people, or the church, you see. And in Katy, Texas, there was a mass suicide at the time of this invasion. In other words, you know what I took from that? You take Texas as meaning the church, as symbolizing the church. Katy, Texas, a really small part of the church, has come to purity and has come to death to self. Because that's what Katy means, purity. And there were suicides, so there was death to self. I believe that the dream that Diana had and the dream that Mary had about the bride, we're very close to the bride coming to maturity. That's what this is talking about. This woman represents Texas, but Katy represents the bride, because she's going to manifest death to self. Suicide. Death to self. That's what I saw there. I feel like that's what the Lord's saying. There was a mass suicide there because the bride had come to maturity. Okay? And since what's going to happen is a wilderness experience, and it's always the man-child or the bride that leads the people of God in the wilderness, then the bride has to come to maturity before the wilderness. And that's what you see here. And she says, I remember thinking that it was odd to have a mass suicide due to tornadoes. See, her attitude in there identifies something. You're not looking for the norm here when you're talking about tornadoes causing physical suicide. The feeling that you had that it was odd makes you look at it. Now look, we're looking for something odd here, you see. In the dream, the Lord wants you to look for something odd here. Her feelings help you to identify the real situation there. It was odd to have a mass suicide due to tornadoes. But some people are going to come to maturity. A small group of the larger group are going to come to maturity. That's what she's saying. Well, she went on to say, While I was down on the beach urging these two individuals to come in out of danger, I looked up and a wall of a storm was right on us. We began running up the stairs, sanctification, see that? Began running up the stairs of the seawall, and at one point I was carrying a small boy. I was carrying a small boy up the stairs. Who's a small boy? Anybody got an idea? Christ. Christ in our life, right? This was her fruit. Is what she saw. She was carrying her fruit and she was going up the stairs of the seawall. Sanctification. See? Another symbol. The small boy, once you reach the top of the seawall, the seawall symbolizes sanctification, what we looked at in Proverbs 18, you know, it also may represent the defenses of the United States. When she reached the top of the seawall, she was alone. Because here was this wave of a storm coming, and guess what? Anything physical can't touch your spiritual man, can it? Think about it. When I thought about this, it was so plain. Hey, you know what? The man, the little boy, the fruit, can't be touched by anything physical. Only her physical body could be touched by things physical. Right? But the spiritual man isn't touched by things spiritual, things physical. See? So he wasn't touched. because as soon as she got to the top, he was gone from her hand. She was alone, and look what happened to her. Suddenly, she became engulfed by water, but knowing she would be okay. She's engulfed by what's the water? When the enemy cometh in like a flood, the invading army. The water. In this case, it's the invading army. But you're true, it's a curse. But she said she knew she was okay. And what I got from that, Proverbs 16:7, you know, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. How many times have we had dreams here about petting the lion? The Bible identifies the lion as the one who conquered Babylon. Many places. In Jeremiah 50:51, the lion is the one that invaded, conquered Babylon. He likened them to a lion. And yet we're having these dreams about petting the lion. Christians, petting the lion. Not being devoured by the lion. This lady over in Mississippi, she saw the lion and the lioness come up there, and her husband were sitting there, and at first they were trembling, and they just started petting the lion. Pauline had another dream about petting the lion. Well, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. She said she knew she'd be okay. Even though she was engulfed by the water, she was okay. The water receded, and I could feel nothing but soft sand beneath me, and I knew I was okay, and I woke up. Did anybody else see anything in that? It's obvious that there was nothing left but soft sand.